Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Just to give context, this is the final verse before Krishna begins speaking Chatushloki to Lord Brahma. So there's Brahma asks many questions, and then Krishna replies in six verses. The two verses are the preface, and then the four verses are the Chatushloki. So this is the second of the preface verses, and then Krishna will speak Chatushloki. Translation. All of me, namely my actual eternal form, and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual mercy, factual realization, out of my causeless mercy. So purport is quite long, just over two pages, so I'll read it. Please follow along. Purport. The secret of success in understanding the intricacies of knowledge of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Even in the material world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet sons. The father discloses the confidence unto the son whom he thinks worthy. An important man in the social order can be known by his mercy only. Similarly, one must be very dear to the Lord in order to know the Lord. The Lord is unlimited. No one can know him completely. But one's advancement in transcendental loving service of the Lord can make one eligible to know the Lord. Here we can see that the Lord is sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offers his causeless mercy to him so that Brahmaji may have the factual realization of the Lord by his mercy only. In the Vedas also it is said that a person cannot know the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, simply by dint of mundane education or intellectual gymnastics. One can know the supreme truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as in the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is said that the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone, and he keeps himself concealed from the faithless by his yoga, maya, potency. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, quality, and pastimes. The Lord is not formless as wrongly conceived by the impersonalist, but his form is not like one that we have experienced. The Lord discloses his form even to the extent of measurement to his pure devotees, and that is the meaning of Yavan, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord discloses the transcendental nature of his existence. The mundane wranglers make mundane conceptions of the form of the Lord. It is said in the revealed scriptures that the Lord has no mundane form. Therefore, the persons with a poor fund of knowledge conclude that he must be formless. They cannot distinguish between the mundane form and the spiritual form. According to them, without a mundane form, one must be formless. This conclusion is also mundane because formlessness is the opposite conception of form. Negation of the mundane conception does not establish a transcendental fact. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord has a transcendental form and that he can utilize any one of his senses for any purpose. For example, he can eat with his eyes and he can see with his leg. In the mundane conception of form, one cannot eat with one's eyes or see with his leg. That is the difference between the mundane body and the spiritual body of Sachit Ananda. A spiritual body is not formless. It is a different type of body of which we cannot conceive with our present mundane senses. Formless, therefore, means devoid of mundane form or possessing a spiritual body of which the non-devotee can have no conception by the speculative method. The Lord discloses to the devotee his unlimited varieties of transcendental bodies, all identical with one another, with different kinds of bodily features. Some of the transcendental bodies of the Lord are blackish, and some of them are whitish. Some of them are reddish, and some of them are yellowish. Some of them are four-handed, and some of them are two-handed. Some of them are like the fish, and some are like the lion. All these different transcendental bodies of the Lord, without any differential category, are disclosed to the devotees of the Lord by the mercy of the Lord, And thus the impersonalist false arguments claiming the formlessness of the Supreme Truth do not appeal to a devotee of the Lord. Even so, such a devotee may be very advanced in devotion, may not be very advanced in devotional service. The Lord has unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities, and one of them is his affection for his unalloyed devotee. In the history of the mundane world, we can appreciate his transcendental qualities. The Lord incarnates himself for the protection of his devotees and for the annihilation of the faithless. His activities are in relationship with his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of such activities of the Lord in relationship with his devotees. The non-devotees have no knowledge of such pastimes. The Lord lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old and protected his pure devotees at Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, who was overflooding the place with rain. Now this lifting of the Govardhan Hill by a seven-year-old boy may be unbelievable for the faithless, but for the devotees it is absolutely believable. The devotee believes in the almighty potency of the Lord, while the faithless say the Lord is almighty, but do not believe it. Such men with a poor fund of knowledge do not know that the Lord is the Lord eternally, and that one cannot become the Lord by meditation for millions of years or by mental speculation for billions of years. The impersonal interpretation of the mundane wranglers is completely refuted in this verse, because it is clearly stated that the Supreme Lord has his qualities, form, pastimes, and everything that a person has. All these descriptions of the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead are factual realizations by the devotee of the Lord, and by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they are revealed to his pure devotee and to no one else. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions? Interesting. Just as Brahma is about to summarize everything in four verses, just as Krishna is going to summarize it in four verses for Brahma, Prabhupada follow suit. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. You follow in the wake. So yes, Srila Prabhupada has explained many, many things here, revealing so many things in our heart, and the Lord is about to reveal so many things in Brahmaji's heart. That famous saying tells us the two most important days in your life, the day you're born and the day you find out why. So that day is about to come. Brahma is about to find out why. Why is he here? Why does he exist? What is his purpose? Krishna is going to reveal everything to Brahma. But we have to rewind. It all began on the day Brahma was born, because when Brahma was born, he was completely baffled, and then he heard Tapa, Tapa, Sutta. Austerity, do austerity. And out of humility, pranipat, he accepted, I should do austerity. Austerity. How much? 1 year? 2 years? 1,000 celestial years. This is pranipat. This is submissiveness. The essence of submissiveness is that one is patient. Humility means patience. Because a humble person knows, I'm not worthy. I don't have any qualification. I have no claim, no expectation. So however long it takes, it takes. So we can understand Brahma was humble, because he was patient and he submissively followed the instruction to do austerity, pranipat, tick one box, one mark. But then, after he had done his austerity, what did he begin doing? He started asking questions, many, many questions. People have so many, many questions to ask. Yesterday I was at Om Nom doing a program, and at the end of the program, one young lady came up to me and said, I've got a question. I said, yes. She said, what should I look for in my ideal partner? I was like, okay. I wasn't expecting this one, you know. So many questions people have. Very, very interesting. But Brahma's questions, what are the material world? What is the spiritual world? What are the material, spiritual forms of the Lord? He asked so many questions. So therefore, Brahma is asking, Munayo sadupristo ham bhavad bir loka mangalam. He's asking questions which will be for the benefit of people, real benefit for generations to come. Therefore, Brahma, pariprashna, asking good questions, give him another mark. And then if you look at Brahmaji's final question, the essence of what he asks right at the end is, and how can I serve you? How can I serve you? That is the ultimate question that one must ask. That is the ultimate mood one must develop, service attitude. Prabhupada said, factually, I met my spiritual master 11 times. I asked him different questions, but actually I only ever asked him one question. And what was the question I only ever asked him? How can I serve you? I may have asked him, should I live here or should I live there? But really I was asking, where's the blessed place from which I can serve? I may ask my spiritual master this ashram or that ashram. Really I'm asking, where can I serve the best from? So Brahma asks the right questions and ultimately he has a service mood. So, sevaya, 3 marks. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. He completed the circle. He completely was the ideal disciple because he had pranipat, submission. He was asking the right questions and he had a service mood. This is eternal principle. It never changes. It's spoke about by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and is revealed by every single good disciple in the Bhagavatam. That if you do these 3 things, then eventually upadekshanti, you will get initiation, you will get entrance, you will get access, deigyanam, to the highest truths in the universe. Gyaninas tattvadarshina, this is what a tattvadarshi, a learned person, can give you. So basically Brahmaji touched Krishna's heart. Parampara means this. The disciple touches the heart of the guru. Because the disciple touches the heart of the guru then opens his heart, reveals his heart. And when the guru reveals the heart, then the disciple understands the heart. And when the disciple understands the heart, his own heart becomes filled with that mood. And then you know what happens? That disciple matures. And in the future, if someone else comes to that good disciple and touches that disciple's heart, then that disciple will reveal their heart. And then the other disciple will understand their heart, and then their heart will become filled. And like this, param para, one after another. Parampara is not just a transfer of knowledge. Yes, of course it's a transfer of knowledge. But ultimately, it's a touching of hearts. Every disciple is touching the heart of the guru. And then every subsequent disciple is touching the heart of their guru. And in this way, because the guru is pleased, then one learns truth. You will learn truth from studying scripture, not alone. Because, tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nashav rishir yashyamatam nabhinnam. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatasupantha. The secrets of Dharma are hidden within the hearts of the Vaishnavas. And therefore, one has to somehow get access to the heart. And then one can understand what is actually the truth. In this case, the guru is Krishna. That's good because dharman tushakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma begins from the Lord. So Lord knows Dharma. He enunciates Dharma. And therefore he is teaching Brahma. So this is parampara. The disciple basically has to touch the heart of the guru. That's what it is. Because if the guru is pleased, then the guru will give everything. And that is basically the tradition of how it all goes on. Same thing we see between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. Actually, Kaviraj Goswami draws the parallel between Brahma and Krishna and between Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tene Brahma Rida Ya Adi Kavaye Muyanti yat surayah. We hear right in the first verse of the Bhagavatam that Krishna, tene, imparting rida within the heart of Brahma, Brahma gyan, knowledge, rida in the heart, ya adi kavaye, because Brahma is the first created living being, muyanti yat surayah. And this tattva that Krishna is giving to Brahma within his heart, it's not understandable. It bewilders even the demigods. So this is the line. Tene brahma rida ya adi kavaye muyanti yat surayaha. Kaviraj Goswami says this same line can relate to Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tene, thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahma, gave Brahma gyan, but not just tattva gyan, he gave rasa gyan. He gave rasa gyan. Rida, where? Into the heart. Of who? Adikavaye, not just the first created living being, but the original poet. Who's the original poet? Rupa. Rupa Goswami. Muyanti yat surayaha. And this poetry, this knowledge, this rasa gyan has the power to intoxicate the demigod-like devotees. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, in the beginning of Rupa Goswami, instructions to Rupa, he cites a very beautiful verse. Vrindavaniyam rasake livartam kalena lupta nijashakti ukta sancharya rupe vyatanot punaya. That these Vrindavan pastimes were lost. So the Lord wanted to recreate the pastimes of Vrindavan in the world, and therefore he imparted within the heart of Rupa Goswami the knowledge by which Rupa could. So Rupa perfectly understood Mahaprabhu's heart. He conquered Mahaprabhu's heart, and therefore Mahaprabhu opened his heart. It's incredible. If you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's just this scene. You just have to picture it for a moment. It's Jagannath Rath Yatra. Millions of people have come. The atmosphere is at fever pitch. The kirtan is going. Jagannath then comes out. He's intoxicated. Jagannath is moving. And Mahaprabhu is there in the kirtan. Now Rath Yatra has gone to another level because Mahaprabhu is there. Jagannath is there and Mahaprabhu is there. So you can imagine the scene is reaching fever pitch. And as Mahaprabhu catches a sight of Jagannath, he just goes into overdrive of ecstasy. He just doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's feeling, how to express it. So Mahaprabhu has no idea how to express his emotions. So then what Mahaprabhu does is, as he sees Jagannath, he starts reciting this verse. Ya komara hara sa eva hivaras ta eva chaitrakshapas. What is the next line? Te chon militam malati surabhayo praudha kadamba nila. He starts singing this verse. This is incredible because this is basically mundane poetry. This is just the poetry of the love of a girl for her beloved. Ya koma rahara sa eva hivaras. Yes, that one who was so dear to me, I'm meeting them again. These are the same moonlit nights of Chaitra that we are meeting under. We are meeting again, and it's like the malati flowers are going through the Kadamba forest and the breeze is entering my nose. It's just a mundane love song. I mean, you got to imagine, like, imagine this London Rath Yatra. It's fever pitch, you know, and then a shining sannyasi comes who's considered like very elevated. And yes, you please lead the kirtan. And as everyone is there in the emotions of Jagannath, imagine they just go on the mic and they start singing a Bollywood song. It's like, call the GBC, you know, I mean. Like, so it's bewildering. No one understands. It's a mundane song. It's a completely mundane song. But the thing is, Mahaprabhu doesn't know how to express the emotion that he's feeling for Jagannath. There's no words. So he has to find the closest thing he can find. So he cites this verse. Now everyone is bewildered. They have no idea. What is he singing? Why is he singing? This is some mundane song. But there's one person who goes and thinks about it deeply. And this person, Sri Chaitanya, Manobhishtam, he understands Mahaprabhu's mind. And therefore he composes a mirror verse. And this mirror verse, which comes from Rupa's pen, is considered perhaps his most exquisite verse. Priya soyam Krishna saha chari kurukshetra militas. This is very profound. Rupa writes this verse, which basically decodes the whole situation. Everyone is thinking Mahaprabhu is singing some mundane song. Rupa's verse decodes the whole situation because he looks at the scene and he says, I understand. I understand everything. Mahaprabhu is in Radhabhav. Jagannath is Krishna in ecstasy. And the whole scene of Jagannath is Kurukshetra. And just as the gopis were trying to pull Krishna, saying, Krishna, you are the same Krishna, but we want to take you to Vrindavan. He's pulling, trying to take him back to Vrindavan. Rupa understood Mahaprabhu is feeling the same thing Radharani was feeling at Kurukshetra. And now he's pulling. He's incomplete. It's the height of his ecstasy. So Rupa, he decoded the whole thing. He wrote it down. And he put it in the roof. Mahaprabhu came. Mahaprabhu saw, what's that? Looked at the verse, fainted. How Rupa understood my heart? How could he understand my heart? He slapped him. He slapped him lovingly. And then Mahaprabhu went to Swarup Damodar. He said, how did he understand? Swarup Damodar said, because he touched your heart, therefore you opened your heart. And because you opened your heart, you filled his heart. And because you have filled his heart is now coming out in this verse. Mahaprabhu said, what to do? In these purports, actually, Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, by the grace of Krishna, I was also able to write something which pleased my spiritual master very much. Anyone know what that was? He wrote, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada once wrote a Vyasa Puja offering. Prabhupada was a real, they used to call him Kavi. He was a real poet. Srila Prabhupada's words were so poetic. And once he wrote a stanza in a poem. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur read that stanza, he said, he has understood me. Prabhupada wrote in one stanza, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur read that, he said, he understood me completely. He understood my mission, the complete annihilation of Mayavad. I won't stand for anything less than that. I want to strike them out completely. So Prabhupada said, you proved it. Absolute is sentient. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would often show that verse to people who came. He said, just see, he's understood my heart. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a magazine, The Harmonist, and he said to the editor, after he read Prabhupada's verse, he said to the editor, whatever he writes, just publish it. No need to check it. Just publish it. Because he has understood my heart. The disciple must understand the heart of the guru. This is tradition. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood the heart of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, isn't it? He was completely aligned, completely on the same wavelength. Even once, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a lecture and he said, my spiritual master, Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, he gave me three instructions. Instruction number one, never make any disciples. Instruction number two, never associate with materialistic people. Instruction number three, never go to Calcutta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I followed him perfectly. Really? He said, people think I made so many disciples, but I never made any disciples. I saw all of them as representatives of my spiritual master. I saw all of them had come to instruct me. He said, people think I associated with many materialistic people, but association means you take something from someone. But when I associated with all these people, I never took anything. I was just giving. And he said, I never went to Calcutta, because whenever I went to Calcutta, I stayed in Bagh Bazar temple. And that's not of this realm. That's in the spiritual world. I followed my spiritual master perfectly. I understood his heart. So Brahma understood Krishna's heart. Rupa understood Mahaprabhu's heart. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood Gorkishodas Babaji's heart. Srila Prabhupada understood Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart. That is how parampara goes on. We must touch the heart of our superiors, and then they open their heart, and then we understand their heart. So we have to, just like we're reading how Brahma just became such a wonderful disciple, we also have to become worthy. We have to touch the hearts. Sometimes in order to know how to become a good disciple, it can help to know what is a bad disciple. Because the good things we know, like Sevaya, Prashna. But what does a bad disciple mean? Actually, there's a verse given in Shastra of six types of bad disciple. So you can see, maybe some of these mentalities come in that need to be avoided. Alir bano jyoti shaka stabdi bhuta kimekaka preshikas preshakas cheva sadete sevakadhama sadete. There are six kinds, sevakadhama, of inferior disciple. Are you interested? Want to know? What are the six types of inferior disciple? The first one is Ali. Ali means a bee. Bee-like disciple. Why is a bee-like disciple inferior? Because a bee just goes from flower to flower, buzzing around, getting a bit of nectar from here, getting a bit of nectar from there, but a bee is not committed anywhere. A bee is basically the sign of fickleness, the sign of someone who can give up their affection and attachment for someone very, very easily. So sometimes some disciples are like that. There's a dramatic show of surrender. And Gurudev, from this day on, till the end of eternity, I will. And then after some time, nowhere to be seen. That is the fickleness of the bee-like disciple. So we should understand that the good disciple has great loyalty, has great chastity. Not my spiritual master, I can never leave. I can never leave my spiritual master. How much he has given me. Just like Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco, 67. He became very sick. He had to go back to India. The devotees were thinking, well, how are we going to survive without Srila Prabhupada? So someone made a suggestion. Srila Prabhupada, maybe when you go back, you can bring one of your god brothers to act as your temporary replacement. And Mukunda Maharaj tells the story that Prabhupada just was very quiet. And Prabhupada said, my spiritual master was no ordinary spiritual master. He saved me. And then Prabhupada began crying. And then the devotee realized, oh my God, how could we even have thought of that? That someone could replace Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said he was no ordinary spiritual master. The bee-like disciple doesn't understand this. They don't understand how much they were invested with, how much mercy they received. You can never leave. So the first lower disciple is the bee-like disciple, Alir. Then the second lower type of disciple, Bana, isn't it? Bana, Pushpa, Krishna is known, Krishpa, Pushpa Banaya. Bana means an arrow. The second type of inferior disciple is like an arrow. Why? Because that disciple actually pierces the heart of the guru. Not in a good way. By their words and their deeds, they cause pain to the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, you took vows in front of Agni, you took vows in front of the Vaishnavas, you took vows in front of Krishna, in front of the Guru, you must honor them. That is gentleman, that is noble. So when the disciple acts in a way which is in violation of the Guru's direction, then he becomes like an arrow disciple. Instead of going out to fight Maya and declare war on illusion, he aims those arrows back at the Guru and shoots the Guru. Prabhupada said, I'm suffering so much because my disciples are not following. So then Shastra says, this is the second type of inferior disciple, Bana, and like an arrow. And then the third type of inferior disciple, Jyotishaka. Understand? Jyotishaka. What's Jyotish? Astrology. Third type of inferior disciple is the astrologer disciple. Have you ever heard of the astrologer disciple? The astrologer disciple is ready. Yes, yes, I've got my instructions from Guru Maharaj. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready. But everything just has to be aligned properly. This planet has to be in the seventh house, and then this has to be rising. This influence has to be extinguished. The nakshatra has to be like this. And everything is perfect. Then I'll do. This is called Jyotishaka. The astrologer disciple, the one who's waiting for that day when everything is perfect to then execute the order of the spiritual master. Everything must be in place, everything must be favorable, and then I'll do it. Did Prabhupada wait? Prabhupada didn't have good health. Prabhupada had no money. Prabhupada had no contacts. Prabhupada had he had no strategy. Nothing was in place, in one sense. But he went. Sometimes you think Srila Prabhupada's life was specifically engineered so that no one can have any more excuses not to do it. Because you can't say, oh, my health is bad, because Prabhupada had two heart attacks. You can't say, well, I don't have so much material security. Well, Prabhupada had 40 rupees in his pocket. You can't say, well, I don't have the support of many, many people around me. Well, Prabhupada had no one with him. So the third type of inferior disciple is the Jyotishaka, the one who tries to wait till everything's perfect. And what happens? Ayur harati vaipum sham. The sun rises, the sun sets, and while the disciple is waiting for the ideal time, life is taken away and has to come back all over again and implicate the spiritual master in that negligence. Fourth type of inferior disciple, Shtabdibhuta, which literally means lazy, lazy intelligence, lazy disciple. A disciple who knows what they're supposed to do. They know they should do it. They know that everything is the right time to do it, but somehow or other just can't generate the energy, the momentum, the enthusiasm to do it. The best disciple can't bear to waste their energy. Srila Prabhupada just spent every last bit of energy to serve Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No stone left unturned. Srila Prabhupada just was the complete antithesis of laziness. Like his spiritual master told him, preach in the English language. So he could have written one article, but he didn't. He wrote 60 volumes. He could have opened one temple, but he didn't. He opened 108. He could have preached in one country, but he didn't. He went around the world 14 times. He could have initiated one disciple. So many things. He could have just done it, but he just went more and more and more and more and more. Completely awake. Not lazy, utilizing his energy. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture and he said something which pierced Srila Prabhupada's heart. He said, "I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood for the upliftment of the spiritual corpus of the entire universe."